and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
The Gay USA, I'm Andy Hum, and welcome back.
Lazarus, I have risen. Ann Northrup, yes, it's been a rough beginning to 2021, but I am back. I am healthy. I am energized and very happy to be here, even though the sun is...
Spring is coming and the sun is shining on your face.
Making me look like the Lone Ranger, but I think it's going to pass.
You've always been the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, that's true. And I once had an autographed picture of the Lone Ranger that my father got for me, one of the nice things he did for me. But I think the sun will cross the sky as we do this.
So much news this week, starting with the big news on the weekend where a lesbian nurse manager kicked off the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of news going on, and that's not actually the most important thing, but we thought we'd entertain you with that before we get into the heavy stuff. Actually, there's great heavy stuff, which is that President Biden this week mandated U.S. support of LGBTQ rights internationally in a way that it's really comprehensive and impressive.
And no surprise, but Mike Pence has signed up with two, count them, two anti-LGBTQ groups post-vice presidency.
Well, let's hope that really consigns him to oblivion. For the first time, three major national LGBTQ organizations have black leaders.
Yes. And there was a big advance for LGBTQ rights in Florida.
Yeah, it was quite stunning and a little unexpected. In Oklahoma, a second grader was expelled from a Christian school for announcing her crush on another girl.
Doesn't sound very Christian. Country singer T.J. Osborne of the Brothers Osborne has come out in a big way.
Yay. Turkish President Erdogan says there's no such thing as the LGBT, then calls us terrorists. The U.S. has condemned his rhetoric.
That wouldn't have happened in the previous 4 years.
No.
The Chinese government is in a push against feminization of men. What a story.
Well, so is half the United States, but that's another story. And an Iranian cleric has joined an Israeli rabbi. See, the sides can come together in warning the COVID vaccine will make you gay.
Yes. So more for us. The Super Bowl. So if you were watching, I always keep it on in the background when I do my tax receipts.
Well, it was the worst Super Bowl ever.
Okay.
The worst.
I won $10 on it, but all right. An ICU nurse manager, Susie Dorner, we have a picture of her at, she's from Tampa General Hospital down there, and they were, wore a rainbow band, and her girlfriend Melanie was there, and there were 7,500 vaccinated healthcare workers attending the game.
You left off the raison d'etre for her being there. She was leading the coin toss. They picked some honorary captains to come out on the field and do the opening coin toss before the start of the game. And she was the lead person in the coin toss. And there she was as a heroine nurse manager in an ICU unit. That's why she was picked, and very prominently wearing her rainbow bracelet to let us all know that she was part of the LGBTQ community. Very proud to have her there.
And
that was the highlight of the Super Bowl. Everything after that was just a mess.
And attention, viewers all over the world, President Biden initiated his push for human rights for LGBTQ people around the world. Now, if you're on our email list, we will send you this declaration. It's quite detailed. It builds on an Obama initiative in 2011. But for the first time, it directs executive departments and agencies abroad to ensure that U.S. diplomacy and assistance programs, many of which are run by, you know, right-wing Christian organizations, protect human rights of LGBTQI people everywhere.
And it's not just the State Department. It's every U.S. entity that operates abroad. This is a very broad memorandum. And it talks about fighting criminalization of LGBTQ people around the world.
Rick Grenell didn't get very far on that, did he?
No, he did not. Supporting refugees, funding anti-discrimination efforts around the world.
Assisting asylum seekers as well, not just refugees.
Both. Responding to human rights abuses, building coalitions with people around the world, reviewing policies in our organizations as we operate around the world, and reporting to the State Department. All these different divisions of the United States government must report annually to the State Department on their work in this area.
So I guess we won't be voting with the Vatican and the Saudis on LGBTQ issues at the UN anymore. Now, Malaysia, there's a region of Malaysia, the federal territory, which has already condemned this. I mean, they're saying that we, that gay people, violate the norms of human behavior, but they
as often as possible.
They don't feel that way about intersex people. They have a certain sympathy for intersex people.
Well, that's a particular state of being. This all comes out of or in concert with Biden's speech to the State Department last week, where he talked about foreign policy and included in that a very forthright promise of support for LGBTQI people around the world, and has also pledged, I suppose, as a beginning, $10 million to the Global Equality Fund, which is meant to support these efforts worldwide. But what most impresses me about all this, and what I think is most important, and what Biden has been evincing for his first 3 weeks in office, is leadership. You know, we have yearned for leadership. Not that I put all my faith in some, you know, patriarchal leader, but if you're going to set a tone, you must do it strongly and forthrightly and clearly and with a statement of values. And that's what he's been doing. And I find it very impressive. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. Do I expect to be disappointed regularly? Of course. But I am mightily impressed by a lot of what he's doing.
Well, talk about leadership. He also condemned political extremism at the National Prayer Breakfast, where four former presidents sent messages, Obama, Bush, Clinton, and Carter. Trump seems to have skipped it this year. I think he's lost his interest in religion, which was never about the worship of anything but himself.
There was no, golf event connected to the breakfast. Also, a couple of representatives from California and Massachusetts have introduced a bill to mandate a permanent ambassador for LGBTQI rights around the world.
Well, what happens when Trump gets reelected in 2024? Who occupies the position then?
Richard Grenell.
And other administration news, Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg is in quarantine after a close aide tested positive for COVID. He is negative so far.
He's made a great hire for a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Tribal Affairs, a gay Navajo man from Arizona who was a member of the Arizona House of Representatives. Sounds like a great, smart, accomplished guy, Orlando Teller. And so he's a prominent early appointee of Pete at Transportation.
I know we don't have too many fans of the military, U.S. military watching this show, but the Department of Defense says transgender people can now begin enlisting in the military.
Yes, there was some question about that. They had announced transgender troops could serve, but people were wondering whether they could start enlisting immediately. And the answer is yes. And I'm certainly happy about that, but also impressed by the Defense Secretary's leadership in announcing campaigns against sexual assault in the military, which are often same-sex in nature, and against white supremacy in the military. You know, that the military.
Oh, so on Fox News, they call that he's going after conservatives. No, white supremacists.
Is that how we define conservatives now, Fox News, white supremacists? You know, years and years of the Air Force Academy, white supremacists, sexual assault. It's just rife throughout. Right. And I'm thrilled to see these at least announced as priorities.
Now, I was a little concerned when I read that, you know, Biden is going to continue what Trump started, not using the Bar Association's review of judges to determine who to appoint. And he says, look, they can still weigh in, but he doesn't want the process slowed down as he seeks to quickly diversify the bench.
Man, he's got a lot. Look, I worried if you went back and ran these tapes of this show, I worried months ago about whether the Biden people were keeping enough of an eye on everything they had to do when they got into office. Well, they're on top of it. They have everything on their list.
They are. And now a Fox reporter this week tried to challenge the press secretary, Biden's press secretary, on the executive order on trans rights in schools, specifically athletic scholarships for women, which don't otherwise concern the Fox News network. So Jen Psaki replied, the president's belief is that trans rights are human rights.
Nice. Certainly didn't hear that out of the Trump administration. I was also happy to see, I'm happy to see this, that the National Defense Authorization Act is now going to require federal agents to at demonstrations to wear ID badges. Yes, that's a good thing.
Very good news for protesters. Can we talk a little? I mean, how are you enjoying the impeachment trial? Here's my take on the first day. A Jew, a black guy, and a gay guy walk into the well of the Senate and kill it versus Trump. Now, we are talking here about Jamie Raskin, Joe Neguse, and David Cicilline, who also is himself Jewish. So we had two there.
Hard to imagine a guy named Cicilline is Jewish, but I'll take your word.
His mother is Jewish, and he was raised Jewish.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This from our friend Stephen Goldstein.
Yes, I saw the note, but I hadn't heard that extended explanation. Look, I think they're doing a great job. I think it's great to educate the American people with this. I'm glad it's being broadcast and I hope watched a lot. I think the Democratic presentation is very good. And I actually was heartened by the fact that Bill Cassidy from Louisiana changed his vote. That gave me a lot of hope. Now, I don't want to be silly and predict that they're going to turn around and convict this guy. But
well, Joe Cassidy just got reelected, and it sounds like McConnell has told people at least vote your conscience. I mean, I'm sure he wants to be rid of Trump for the next even for the 2022 cycle. But.
And Josh Hawley sitting up in the gallery so he can be away from everybody.
Well, safety first. Mike Pence is joining the Anti-LGBT Heritage Foundation, which he's really worked for all along, as a distinguished visiting fellow. He's also launching a podcast by the Young America's Foundation, an anti-gay conservative youth organization. So I guess being threatened with hanging by Trump supporters didn't open his eyes.
He really comes off like such a robot. It's hard to know.
It's quite frightening.
It is frightening. Well, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is frightening, too. I see I've hit a nerve. And she has introduced some new bills, no rainbow flags at embassies, no trans girls in sports at schools. She has no shame in her game, as they say.
I may have to link in our email to Randy Rainbow's latest video about her. As long as we're speaking.
Oh, it's the one that's the play on Streisand's Evergreen.
Yes. As long as we're speaking of bigots, that senior NYPD cop who headed the department's EEOC, Equal Opportunity, James Cobell, we have a picture of him. He was fired.
Out of order. Why are you calling up these pictures out of order?
I apologize because I'm just transitioning here. But anyway, he was fired. But they're numerous racist, homophobic bigots online, anti-Semitism and misogyny. But he gets to keep his pension. All right, I'll try to.
Well, I am, the person who really blew the whistle on him was Richie Torres when he was still on the city council in New York. And it was great that he pursued that and really was vocal about insisting that this guy was who he was and did what he did in the face of a lot of opposition, of course, from the NYPD. And as I think about him and others who have just entered Congress to be in the midst of this impeachment trial, to be in this the whirlwind of the January 6th insurrection attack, I want to get Richie back here to tell us about his first month in Congress and or Mondaire Jones or some of them, because it has got to be surrealism in everyday life to go from serving on the New York City Council to this hurricane, tornado, disaster that is their experience in the first few weeks in Congress.
Speaking of 2024, hopefuls Nikki Haley went after Biden for protecting trans girls in school sports. She said cisgender girls can't possibly be good enough at sports to compete against trans girls. Now, of course, Martina Navratilova has weighed in on this past week as well. She would like a carve out for elite sports at higher levels so that trans athletes don't just compete based on their declared gender identity, but based on what she calls biology, evidence, and science. So this issue is.
Well, working. She's put together this new group.
Women's Sports Policy Working Group.
Which is supposed to investigate the science of it. And the problem with this is a couple of problems. But one is the science of it has been investigated pretty thoroughly and on an ongoing basis. We don't need her new group to investigate it. And as you say, her attitude is based on assumptions, not science. And in fact, she said, we need the new rules on this because trans girls' advantages are pretty obvious. No, Martina, they're not pretty obvious.
I know you don't watch Fox, but this is 90% of what they cover these days.
Of course it is, because we've gone from abortion to LGBT to trans. This is how the right wing stays relevant and raises money. And that's all this is about.
There was misogyny in there, too. But now, of course, they want to defend what they call real women, you know. So
this is 50 years of how the right wing stays in business. And they just move from area to area. As they lose power in one, they move on to the next and then the next. And their whole goal, it's like these senators, the Republican senators who are refusing to convict Trump. They have no value system. They have no agenda other than to retain power. And that's what this whole right, the Heritage Foundation, Focus on the Family, all these right-wing groups have. We've been following this for 50 years. This is their MO. They want to stay in power. They want to retain their salaries and their jobs. And they do it by just picking a target group until they run out of juice on that one. And then they move on to the next one. And so trans people are the current target because that's where they can get a rise out of people. And who knows what the next target will be, but that's where they're centered right now.
It's not very nice.
It's horrible.
Right. But what is nice is that for the first time, three national LGBTQ groups have black leaders. Left to right in our picture, Imani Rupert Gordon now leads the National Center for Lesbian Rights. Alfonso David has been the head of the Human Rights Campaign for a bit. And the new head of the National LGBTQ Task Force is Kiara Johnson, taking over from Ray Carey.
And again, this is a sort of logical progression. During the AIDS crisis, a lot of these organizations were suddenly run by women because there were fewer men around available to run these organizations. And women stepped up and took power. And that was a whole tidal wave that took place. And now as race becomes more prominent as an issue, we see this evolution, more consciousness from the community that this is appropriate. And they're all terrific people doing a great job and deserve our support. And it's a great moment.
And some history is being made in Brooklyn, New York. Judge Juliet Howard, on the left in the picture that we have there, was appointed to the city's housing court in Brooklyn, the same court where her wife, Judge Norma Jennings, serves. It's an historic first.
Norma is actually in the Bronx, but they're both housing court judges.
Okay.
And they are...
I'm so glad you're back.
I don't know. Can I yell at you for calling Hank Aaron Henry throughout your obit of him?
You know what? I did that because I read some articles and I read that is what he preferred to be called.
Okay.
And that Hank was given to him by sports writers and they just wanted, that's what they put a label on him for. He wanted to be called Henry.
I defer to your research.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
All right. Let's move on to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
What a story.
The Rejoice Christian School has a little problem on its hands. It seems that, how old is she?
Chloe, second grade, eight years old.
8 years old. She goes out on the playground at recess, and she tells another girl, "I have a crush on you." If only I were that bold at eight. I like to say my one regret in life is that I didn't date girls in high school. Now, this was, back in the age of dinosaurs, but I had those crushes and just was not as bold as Chloe. But it's a new age and Chloe knows the language. And so she told this girl she had a crush on her. Well, no good. Parents are called.
Ask the mother how she felt. How she felt about girls liking girls. And the mother said, "Well, I think it's okay." A teacher told Chloe, "The Bible says that you can only marry a man." And Chloe said, "What about Ruth and Naomi?" No, she didn't say that, but she could have. She cried. And she asked her mother if God still loved her, their God still loved her, and the mother reassured her. So the school also expelled the family's five-year-old boy, Oliver. The family got a lot of support from the community, and this Rejoice School, they received $1 million of your taxpayer money in PPP, but can't be sued for anti-gay discrimination.
Well, we've told that story a million times over the years, but I was happy to read that Chloe and Oliver are happily situated in a different school and are more than welcomed by their classmates and neighbors and everything else. I think they dodged a bullet by getting out of the Christian school. But, what is wrong with these people?
I have said that directly to Cardinal Egan when I have had a face-to-face with him. What is wrong with you? It's homophobia. In Cincinnati, they're making progress. They added gender identity and expression to their hate crimes ordinance.
Yes, excellent. But the big news is actually in Florida, where the Commission on Human Rights has affirmed the Bostock decision as applying to Florida residents. And what that means is that they will apply non-discrimination rules covering sexual orientation and gender identity and expression to employment, housing and public accommodations. This is following the Biden executive order that the federal government do it. And now state by state, they're beginning to look at this as policy for their states. The Bostock decision, of course, is the Supreme Court decision that found that laws against sex discrimination applied to trans people.
It said that the Civil Rights Act of 1964's coverage of sex discrimination in employment was applicable. And now it's being expanded to other venues. By the way, the commissioner in Florida who made the motion and voted for it was appointed by that horrible Governor Ron DeSantis.
Well, we do find some bright spots. However, in Pennsylvania, which has a Republican majority in the legislature, and in Florida, it was the Commission on Human Rights. It wasn't the legislature that did this. This is the Commission on Human Rights saying when complaints come to them, they will accept complaints of this nature and adjudicate them accordingly. But the Republican majority in the legislature in Pennsylvania has not for the first time, again, refused to vote on a non-discrimination proposal.
Pennsylvania is one of those states where Republicans got control of the redistricting and have created majorities for themselves that are self-perpetuating, even though the state oftentimes votes statewide for Democrats.
You know, I also, as I was watching all the Marjorie Taylor Greene nonsense a week or two ago, I thought, have Republicans really screwed themselves with redistricting? Have they put themselves in a position where these nutcases are going to be elected in these so severely gerrymandered districts? Are they losing the ability to have more moderate people?
And they would say the same thing about us, in that we create districts that are 90% Democrat and where the most progressive gets elected. There was a suggestion that was as being put forth, you know, if you elected people where everybody ran together and you had a runoff between the top two, you would get fewer extreme candidates. And there might be some more peace in this country. I'm for any solution that will calm things down and make things better for everyone.
Yeah, I'd rather have, I agree, California does that, I know, and other places, presumably, but nonpartisan redistricting independent commission seems to me.
And get rid of the Senate. You know, we're never going to survive that. In Virginia, they not only got rid of the death penalty in the legislature, the House of Delegates banned the so-called LGBTQ panic defense. And they're also looking to repeal their unconstitutional state ban on same-sex marriage, which is in their constitution. The Democrats want to replace it with an affirmation of marriage rights for all. Now, 57% voted for that amendment back in 2006. And they're trying to get it on the ballot in 2022.
Well, because it was passed as a constitutional amendment, if you want to replace it or repeal it, you have to have it pass the legislature twice and then go to a public referendum.
Yeah.
I know Virginia has changed a lot and we now seem to have a slim Democratic majority. But the idea of having to put that up for a vote again, even in a couple of years, seems a little.
Well, it passed 16-33 in the House and 34-12 in the Senate. So I think a lot of Republicans.
Yeah, the people. We're talking about the people.
People united will never be defeated.
So I've heard.
We have to report, sadly, in Louisiana, the death of another black trans woman. 50 bands. Killed in Baton Rouge, the fifth such violent death this year recorded. 50 friends and advocates released balloons on February 1st in her memory and planned a memorial on Thursday.
21 years old. 21. Murdered by her boyfriend. Misgendered by the cops and the media, as is routine in these cases. Just another tragic loss. Terrible.
I'm not going to go through all of them, but 31 states now have anti-trans bills in the hopper. and they're all hateful. They all pretty much echo Nikki Haley: get trans people out of sports. So,
well, one ray of light in Minnesota, in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, the city council has become the seventh city in the state to ban conversion therapy.
By the way, one of the LGBTQ military groups put this out. If you were less than honorably discharged from the U.S. military for being LGBT or having PTSD or traumatic brain injury or being sexually harassed, you can apply for an upgrade confidentially. Go to va.gov. If you want the full link to this, you got to sign up for our email and I'll send it to you.
It sounds like blackmail, but it's really just one email a week. You can handle it. And it has several charming additions or important ones.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about a couple of other people we lost in the last week. Barry Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Well, Barry, I used to watch him. He's died at the age of 75 of heart disease. He was an architectural historian, but he was famous for wisecracking walking tours of New York since the 70s. Many were on PBS with David Hartman, who used to be the host of Good Morning America.
I worked with him.
From the late 1990s. His partner, Stephen Karp, died of AIDS back in 1994, just before protease inhibitors were approved to get HIV under control. He died at the age of 44 and was a PR exec. But Barry Lewis was a delight and gave these wonderful tours of 42nd Street, The Village, Harlem. You know, they were great shows.
He was a character.
I'm sorry to lose, not a gay thing, but Joe Allen, whose place gave me more pleasure than Broadway shows over the years. It ran Joe Allen Restaurant on Restaurant Row. He died at one of the longest runs. And I also want to mention, we didn't mention him last week, John Samuelson, who was the leader of the AFL-CIO, because he just died 2 weeks ago. But he really put LGBT rights front and center for the labor movement. And they always stood with us, even if we didn't stand with them.
And Christopher Plummer, who has a very important gay footnote, on, not a footnote, a headline in his career. Not gay, but his only Oscar at age 91. No, he died at 91, but his...
He was 82 when he was in Beginners, playing a man coming out at the age of 75. He could play younger. He played some great villains. He was Ralph Nickleby and Nicholas Nickleby, and took over the role of J. Paul Getty in All the Money in the World when Kevin Spacey had his scandal. And he got an Oscar nomination for that as well. So,
and he too...
Great credit to Canada.
And... someone who also referred to his most famous movie as The Sound of Mucus.
That's right. And then I approach this one a little gingerly. Sandy Crisp, 61, a person with disabilities, known as the goddess bunny of the underground scene, died of COVID in Los Angeles on January 27th. A transgender actress and model, a denizen of hustler bars, where she dressed like a grungy diva and lip-synced to songs by Donny Osmond, Judy Garland, and Selena. Should I mention this other one? She also once dressed as Eva Braun next to a man playing Hitler, and a guy in the audience got up and punched her right in the face. So she was out there, apparently very difficult. She was diagnosed with HIV years ago, a lot of avant-garde films, lived in homeless shelters before going into assisted living, ran for mayor in 2014 and got 500 votes. Harper's Bazaar included her on America's Most Legendary Drag Queens.
Yeah, and there was an artist painted a nude picture of her that is in the Louvre. She was an icon and legendary in the L.A. scene, and gone at 61, much too soon.
And a correction from my obit of Cicely Tyson last week. I said she was in the Gin Game and said it was written by Horton Foote. It was, of course, written by D.L. Coburn. Foote wrote The Trip to Bountiful, which Tyson was also in and did admirably. And thanks to the ever-watchful Andrew Taines for correcting me.
We do get to these corrections as often as possible. We also want to congratulate a live entertainer, T.J. Osborne, a well-known country singer with the Brothers Osborne, he and his brother, a very successful country group, who came out.
Well, the winner of 4 CMA Awards, Country Music Association Awards, nominated for 7 Grammys at the age of 36. He's been out to his family and friends for years. He says, I find myself being guarded for not wanting to talk about something that I personally don't have a problem with. He's the only out gay artist on a major country label. The others have come out like Shelley Wright and Billy Gilman. But he said he used to channel his anguish into his music. I hope he's still, you know, is going to be a good creative artist. His brother says if coming out means losing money for us, well, and it fulfills TJ, I wouldn't think twice about it.
Well, good for him. And every time I think about Shelley Wright, I think how brave she was to come out. And the documentary about her, which was so raw and honest, which was terrific.
Well, I hope TJ survives this.
I'm sure he will. Can we move on to international news? You think I'm being too glib?
I've got a couple of other things. Ex-President Trump has resigned from my union, SAG-AFTRA, telling them how great he is and signing off, you have done nothing for me, which has always been his motto. The union responded, thank you. He was
then I think passed a resolution to forbid him from signing up again.
Oh, good. That 29-year-old in California who extorted gay and bi men of over $150,000 over 6 years was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Tyler Buchanan placed bait ads on Craigslist, and then he'd call you up, and you'd talk sexy, and he'd record it, and he'd threaten to expose you. He is also fined over almost $68,000. He says, I'm a damaged, angry person. Tyler Buchanan. Okay, international.
People, be careful. Be careful. Oh, yes. All right, international news. Well, one of our longtime favorites, President Erdogan of Turkey, once again denying our existence. No such thing as LGBT. We're the scapegoats in Turkey. But there's a very strong student protest movement there against him generally and pro-LGBT specifically, and they're just fighting again.
He says there's no such thing, and then he calls the 300 protesters, who are not all gay, LGBTQ youth, even though there's no such thing. But the key thing here is that the U.S. State Department spokesperson, Ned Price, who is himself gay, condemned this rhetoric and defended free speech. And he says, even speech that some may find uncomfortable. The Ankara mayor, by the way, said that that this guy they're trying to impose on the university, which calls all the protests, you know, is a stooge of Erdogan, and urged that guy to sacrifice his position so that we could have some peace in Ankara.
Okay. In India, a court has ordered the reinstatement of a gay man in the Home Guard. He had been fired because there was video of him being affectionate with his boyfriend. I haven't seen it, but my read of this is that it was very mild, but nonetheless, his commander threw him out, calling it totally inappropriate. Well, the court has said, no, you can't discriminate against like that. You have to reinstate him.
And Honduras has gone ahead and super banned same-sex marriage. So if you want to get it back, you need a 75% vote to overturn what they did within the legislature. LGBT activists are suing because Honduras is under the ruling of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights.
Which has mandated that Central and South American countries must legalize same-sex relationships. And a couple of countries have, Costa Rica and Colombia and maybe others. But there is resistance, but it's a changing field. They're coming along.
We want to note the passing of the first out lesbian lawmaker in Britain, or at least in the parliament, economist Maureen Cahoon, who has died at the age of 92. She was a Labour representative from Northampton North from 74 to 79. And the tabloids went wild with homophobia when she came out. She proposed a bill to mandate equal representation of women. Her partner, Barbara Todd, was editor of the lesbian magazine Sappho, and they met working on that Battle of the Sexes bill. She eventually lost her seat, but stayed active, serving on the local council until 2015.
In Germany, there's a big event. 185 LGBTQ and non-binary actors have come out on the cover of a major magazine, a newspaper supplement magazine. Now, this is an echo of 50 years ago when Der Stern published pictures of 374 women who were coming out about having had abortions. And these actors decided that there was strength in numbers. And so they decided that coming out as a group could have an effect. And what was stunning to me about all this is that they talked about the fact that every last one of them had been advised during their careers by their agents, their producers, their directors, don't come out, it will ruin your career. And this is such a universal, hateful, destructive canard. And I'm thrilled to see it challenged. But when you think about that, it is just horrible.
I have friends who are actors on Broadway and on television, and this is something that they worry about. They, you know, that they're not going to get work after they come out. Now, more and more are doing it. But of course, the next big ad I want to see is 185 Catholic priests coming out together and showing some solidarity with each other.
That would be nice. Maybe marching around the courtyard of the Vatican or something with signs.
Yeah.
But this strength in numbers concept is certainly powerful and important. And it's so important to challenge this assumption that if you come out, you are going to ruin your life. Quite the contrary for 99% of people who come out.
I think it was last week, we told you that Tlaxcala in Mexico the head of the government was resisting publishing the passage of the same-sex marriage. Well, he finally did it. And so it's on the official register and you can go get married. 19 of 31 states there now have marriage equality.
In Australia, the Victoria state, which includes Melbourne, has banned conversion therapy, including religious conversion therapy. But it's a little nuanced. They say they're allowing legitimate professional inquiry. But the law was written in consultation with survivors of conversion therapy. So although we don't have all the details, one has to hope and assume that it's a reasonable and admirable advance.
So in Iran, a cleric in Qom, Q-O-M, has warned followers that the COVID vaccines turn you gay. And he even worried that you should not go near someone who's had a vaccine because they have become homosexual. So this is an Ayatollah there. He has 200,000 followers, so that's more vaccine for the rest of us, I guess. But we really do need to get this under control for everybody. And in Israel, a rabbi, Daniel Asur, made the same assertion last month, arguing that the vaccine comes from embryonic substrate that can cause opposite tendencies, turning you gay.
I'm speechless. A couple of stories from Russia. First, a tremendously sad story. Two young men who had been freed from Chechnya, two young gay men who'd been rescued by the Russian LGBT network, have been tracked down and grabbed by the government and returned to Chechnya for further abuse, torture, whatever.
Now, sometimes when the president of Chechnya's goons seek you out, they just kill you on the spot when they find you. But in this case, they brought them back, and they're it's a put-up job. They're saying, oh, they were involved in some anti-government activity with people who had guns and all this kind of stuff. But it's just depressing.
It makes you wonder, don't they have better things to do? And evidently, you know, this is governments all over the world. They're not taking care of the people's needs. They're justifying their existence with nonsense like this, which is so utterly harmful. And meanwhile, leaving people without COVID vaccines or food or housing or whatever.
But in better news, David France's documentary that was on HBO or is on HBO, Welcome to Chechnya, is on the short list of, I think, 15 documentaries that will be considered for Oscar. Also on for special effects.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Visual effects. Because he did that thing where he sort of replaced people's faces digitally so that he could show real people without, like, putting them in shadow or masks or black boxes or something. But he distorted their or changed their faces so that they wouldn't
be... Scorsese did in The Irishman. Also on the short list is All In, The Fight for Democracy, about Stacey Abrams, and Crypt Camp, about activists who emerged from a 1970s camp for children with disabilities.
And I'll tell you about a short documentary that's also on a short list when we get to entertainment news. Also from Russia, in St. Petersburg, we've told you over the last couple of years about this trans woman who was a printer who got fired when she transitioned because her boss said, women aren't allowed to have printer jobs. That was his way of excusing it. Well, for the third time, she has won a court case mandating that she has a right to the printer job. I don't know how many times she'll have to win a court case to actually get the job back, but good decision.
In Tierra del Fuego, Argentina, a man and a trans woman had a church wedding, but then the diocese refused to record the marriage. The bride is the province's diversity subsecretary, and the groom is the education secretary, and the governor attended the wedding. But the Catholic Church felt the need to treat them like subhumans.
All right, a little cheerier story. This really sort of caught my fancy. A viewer, Mark, sent us the story related to the presidential election that's going on in Ecuador.
Yes.
Now, they had an election with a lot of candidates. There's a runoff between the top two, the favorite who seems to be leading. But there's also I'm not quite sure they've decided this yet, who the second place finisher was, but one of the two vying for that is an indigenous guy. What's his name? I don't have his name. Anyway, along with this, Mark sent me the information of the symbols that the indigenous people of Ecuador from the Incas use as a symbol of their people and in things like these campaigns to explain why they're all carrying rainbow flags. And we have a picture of this guy campaigning and a lot of rainbow flags behind him. And he's wearing a scarf that has a sort of rainbow design. And it's not because they're gay. It's because these rainbow symbols are traditional in the Inca communities. And the second picture is variations on the rainbow colors in these square flags. And this comes from 1490 in the Inca communities. And it's just, to me, a very charming example of how these symbols get created and reinterpreted and reused. And Mark heard about this from a guy, his friend Victor, who is Chilean but currently living in Argentina because his family fled the Pinochet regime in Chile. And he's of indigenous descent. And it's just, I think, fascinating to see these symbols around the world.
Well, if you remember the story of Noah, Jews and Christians used to use the rainbow as a symbol all the time, too, but until we spoiled it for them.
And then there's Jesse Jackson.
Rainbow Coalition of the Rejected.
The Rainbow Push Coalition. Anyway, it's a good feeling to be everywhere with this.
Let's go to China, where I'm not getting a good feeling. They're looking to the government is looking to toughen up effeminate boys. They're worried that they won't be able to defend the country. So they're seeking more gym time. Well, that's a pretty gay thing. And more male physical education teachers. That's not going to help. Anyway, the television over there is blurring pierced earrings of male pop stars. Well-groomed actors are being derided as, and I don't know what this means, little fresh meat. And but the critics, of course, say this campaign is going to lead to more bullying.
I remember when we were 20 years ago noting Major League Baseball players beginning to wear diamond studs in their ears. I thought that was quite...
We told you about that actor in England.
Wait a minute. I have one more China note.
Well, this is... Okay, go China. Go ahead.
New internet rules.
Oh, yes.
Social media users must register with the government. This is not good news for LGBTQ people.
Yeah. All right. So in the United Kingdom, we told you about an actor who was set to play Celie in The Color Purple in Leicester. She was fired because a lot of homophobic posts came up and the role is lesbian. So this actor, C.E. Omuba, sued for breach of contract and religious discrimination. So a tribunal has been hearing the case and learned that she had a secret red line about playing a gay character, and that she had not read the script before accepting the role. Now, had she started and then pulled out because the director says, kiss the woman, you know, it would have totally destroyed the show. And she said, you can say that, but in so many instances, people pull out and they find a way to make it work. She said there was no possibility Celie was going to be played as gay. So you better not cast her in Sweeney Todd, where she'll have to murder somebody. It's a sin in the Bible, I think. Anyway,
I'm going to guess she would have been okay with that. What do I know? All right.
Now, shalt not kill.
Yeah, right. Shall we move on to AIDS news?
Yeah, well, there is a CDC, they're calling it a study, that shows LGBTQ people are at higher risk of COVID. Most of it is related to the fact that a lot of LGBTQ people have severe underlying health conditions associated with severe disease. But there's a lack of data in COVID surveillance on LGBTQ, although they did in New York State finally add people with HIV to the list of people who can qualify for vaccines. You can start signing up on February 14th, and, you know, but as you know, Anne, it's hard to get an appointment.
It is. Fingers crossed. I believe I have one. We'll see whether it happens. I've had one yanked away from me a couple of weeks ago. In Virginia, the Senate has repealed their HIV criminalization law. This now has to be passed by the House of Delegates and signed by the governor, but we're hopeful on that.
And Australia, they've eased up on blood donations for gay and bisexual men from 1 year to 3 months without having sex. And there's a funeral for Dr. Joseph Sonnabend that's going to be webcast from London. This was the big AIDS doctor, pioneer, really hero, on Wednesday, February 17th at 9 a.m. Eastern time. It's 2 o'clock over there. I'm going to include you have to go through sign-in information to get to this. So you can watch it that day, or a week later, it'll be up for a month and you can watch the service.
So are you getting all excited about watching the UK series, It's a Sin?
They're going to have a preview of it. I don't know how excited I am. It's by Russell Davies, who did Queer as Folk.
Yeah, of other major series. He's done a ton of stuff. It starts February 18th on HBO Max. It's 5 episodes, and it's all about gay men in 1980s London and the epidemic starting to hit and what their lives are like. Stephen Fry's in it. Neil Patrick Harris is in it. And it's a huge, huge streaming hit in the UK. It's a Channel 4 drama over there, drama series. It was a really big deal there, and we'll see whether it's a big deal here. I don't know how many people
I'm going to try to watch a preview.
Okay. All right. And the National AIDS Memorial for Black History Month is doing a special online exhibit of quilt panels made for Black people and talking about the history of the epidemic, particularly among Black people. If you go to AIDSmemorial.org, that'll be up through March 31st.
Okay. Entertainment news, at the Super Bowl, Logitech did an ad featuring Rainbows, Drag Queens, and Lil Nas X, who previewed his yet-to-be-released single, Montero, Call Me By Your Name, which is a reference to the gay movie of 2017. In the ad, Nas says, "We defy expectations, perceptions, and misconceptions."
Yeah, I saw a short documentary film that is also shortlisted for an Oscar in the documentary shorts as opposed to the full length, like Welcome to Chechnya. It's called Draw With Me. It's about a young trans non-binary person, Brendan, who is a relative of Jennifer Lopez, and she does an intro to the film. She calls Brendan her nibbling, which is the non-binary version of a relative. It's actually quite interesting. He's a young artist, and the film is more nuanced than some you see. It really talks about their ups and downs, and it takes you to a number of different places. And it was shown at a panel at the United Nations on transgender health. It's not available for viewing at the moment, but I think if it gets nominated, Draw With Me will be something that people may want to take a look at.
Now, we told you about the coming out of the TikTok YouTube star JoJo Siwa, 17. Clarified a little bit more this week. Now she says her perfect girlfriend encouraged her to come out.
I always get nervous when they say things like that. Have you been watching The Lady and the Dale on HBO?
I watched a little bit of it. It's quite quirky.
Yeah, I don't think it's the best, most compelling thing ever made.
A transgender woman who touted a three-wheeled car.
And she was a con woman. Her whole life story is about all the cons she pulled and how she was constantly on the run. But a great mother to her kids, a great mother to her kids who all adore her, even though she's trotting them all over the country and running from the law. So that's kind of charming. But it's a 4-hour series. They've run the first three. The last hour is this Sunday on HBO. I don't know. It's not the greatest thing I ever saw, but it is quirky and has its moments.
Well, Russell Tovey didn't have the best of dads. He says this week his father tried to subject him to hormone treatment when he was 18 as a form of conversion therapy. His mother said that they thought they made him gay, and Tovey didn't go there. He says his folks weren't homophobic, just ignorant. And he says they've come around, and his father, it's okay.
Are we down to our last 5 seconds or what?
Yeah, we're 3:27. Yeah, 30 seconds.
Well, then I just want to preview the fact that we're going to have New York City mayoral candidate Carlos Menchaca on with us next week.
He's gay.
He is gay. He's not one of the top candidates. I see Andrew Yang is leading the current polls. But Carlos is a very interesting and progressive guy, and we look forward to talking to him next week.
We'll see you next week. Welcome back, and you'll be...